I believe in the power of love.
I believe that a generation of young people...
I believe it deeply and sincerely.
I believe in the importance of passing this knowledge
along. I believe that everyone wants to love
and be
loved.
All of these add up to my belief in the dignity of the individual.
I believe in people.
This I believe.
The United States is at war. Patriotism is questioned. The economy is shaky, and discrimination compromises our ideals. It is 1951, and broadcast journalist Edward R. Murrow worries that America is being driven by fear.
Around us all, there is an enveloping cloud of fear. There is a physical fear, the kind that drives some of us to try to escape, if only for a little while, the sound and the fury of the A-bombs or the hell bombs or whatever may be coming.
Murrow was the most recognized voice in radio news. His reports from the rooftops of London during World War II made him a household name in America. His reputation made him the ideal host for a new series called This I Believe.
By that name, we bring you a new series of radio broadcasts presenting the personal philosophies of thoughtful men and women in all walks of life. In this brief time each night, a banker or a butcher, a painter or a social worker, people of all kinds who need have nothing more in common than integrity, a real honesty, will talk out loud about the rules they live by, the things they have found to be the basic values in their lives.
And so, for 5 minutes each day, Americans heard just that, from everyday people to famous ones, Eleanor Roosevelt and Helen Keller, Jackie Robinson and Albert Einstein, and Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas.
These days, I see America identified more and more with material things, less and less with spiritual standards. These days, I see America acting abroad as an arrogant, selfish, greedy nation, interested only in guns and in dollars, not in people and their hopes and aspirations. We need a faith that dedicates us to something bigger and more important than ourselves or our possessions.
This, I believe, was the brainchild of Murrow's friend Ward Wheelock, a Philadelphia advertising executive. He was a decorated veteran of both World Wars and made his fortune selling Campbell's soup and Whitman's chocolates to America.
My dad was a natural for advertising.
Keith Wheelock is a retired diplomat and a history professor in New Jersey.
I've never met anybody with so much energy and so much ability to have an idea and push it through.
So with Murrow's fame and Wheelock's fortune and the support of the CBS network, this, I believe, hit the airwaves in 1951 and continued until 1955 with more than 1,000 essayists. It became a cultural phenomenon. 39 million Americans listening to its daily broadcast or reading a weekly column that appeared in newspapers around the country. The series reached people around the world with broadcasts on the BBC and Voice of America. In 1952, Simon & Schuster published a book of the essays that sold 300,000 copies, second only to the Bible that year.
And suddenly it's growing and growing and growing, and I don't think anybody, I don't think Dad, I don't think Ed Murrow, had a clue at the outset that it would explode.
One might think of it as the sophomoric, who am I kind of question, but it wasn't. They were deeply sincere statements of people of all ages trying to make sense out of a time when things were really quite scary for many people. And for other people, soothing to know that somebody else thinks the way they do.
Gladys Chang was an assistant producer for This, I Believe. She worked with essayists to turn their prose into radio. For some prominent Americans too busy to compose an essay, Chang would find ways to help.
For example, I talked to Martha Graham for 4 hours. And she wanted to do the show, but really didn't have time to put it together. So to put 4 hours of conversation into 600 words was a daunting task for me, which she, of course, edited and changed. And what was broadcast was Martha Graham.
I believe that we learn by practice, whether it means to learn to dance by practicing dancing or to learn to live by practicing living, the principles are the same. In each, it is the performance of a dedicated, precise set of acts, physical or intellectual, from which comes shape of achievement, a sense of one's being, a satisfaction of spirit.